For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the final service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. It's Monday morning, May the 31st, 1993. Walter Fletcher is the speaker of the morning.
Surely saith God, there is a brooding over my people. Yea, even as a hen does brood over her chicks. Yea, even as my Holy Spirit did brood over the waste places. Yea, even in the creation. Yea, did I not even cause out of the waste and out of the chaos to come forth order and beauty and loveliness? Yea, thy God even does hover over thee at this very hour. Yea, I do come to even take that which has been waste in thy life. Yea, does not my word declare I shall turn, yea, even thy ashes, even into beauty? Yea, I shall give thee even the oil of joy for the spirit of mourning. Yea, I shall even cause even thee to know, even thy ashes, yea, shall even be turned into something for my glory. Yea, I, thy God, even do hover over thee as thy God of restoration. Yea, even that which the cankerworm and the palmerworm and the locust hath eaten in thy life. Yea, you say, even the years that have been wasted. I, thy God, am a God that does come mighty to save and mighty to restore and mighty to even bring forth. Yea, I shall redeem even the years of thy life. Yea, I shall even redeem the time that has been wasted in thy life. Yea, I am a God, yea, not of merely tomorrow, but I, thy God, do come today. Yea, to brood even over the waste and the chaos and to bring forth order and loveliness and beauty. Lift up thy heart and lift up thy eyes unto thy God. Yea, for he does come mighty, yea, to redeem and to restore. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, it's kind of odd. Come up, back up here, Walter. Come over here, son. These kids are just as much of our family here since we've come to know them as all the rest of them. That doesn't bother us one bit that they're black and I'm white.
Really?
No, sir, not a bit. Not one bit.
You know, we had to add some color.
Amen. Amen. They add more than color. They add the joy and the anointing of the Lord. Amen. And the word of the Lord that flows through both of them is anointed of the Holy Ghost. And we appreciate them. We love them. And we're glad that they can come and be part of us when sometime, I don't know when they'll be available back in the fall, but they'll holler and they'll show up. And we'll know ahead. They'll let us know ahead of time, whether they'll be back for Thanksgiving or Labor Day or when. So they'll be back before the end of the year. And we pray the anointing of the Lord of them as they travel the nation. They travel almost continually, and God's given them great favor. Great favor. And the anointing that rests close to them as they minister the word of the Lord. It's just wonderful. Amen. Amen. Well, here, Dee Dee, I'll give it to you.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, we've been so blessed. This camp meeting, it has just been absolutely wonderful. And it's always good to come to Hot Springs because we have friends here. And it's so good to renew our fellowship and our friendship with each of you. And I just want to say a special thank you to Glenn and Irma because, you know, I don't know many people that would extend themselves to the magnitude that they do. It costs you something to take a stand for the Lord. It costs you something to declare the vision that God has given to you and to go with it. And I really just want to thank them and bless them for their love and for their friendship and just for the open pulpit of coming to minister. I, as a lady minister, everywhere I go, they're not anxious to see me. But God is. And so you have to be obedient what God calls you to. God taught me that and continues to teach me that. But we have certainly we've been refreshed in this camp meeting, and it's been absolutely wonderful. I have so loved the presence of God. And Brother Wes, I want to thank you for your ministry. It has blessed us. It has strengthened us and refreshed us, and we really thank you and honor you for it. Brother Tommy, you blessed me this week, and I thank you for that. Jack and Carol, no, these guys are our buddies, if you can't tell. But, you know, God has really helped us. So many times people ask us, how do you do what you do, and how do you go where you go? And the Lord has really blessed us. There's not been doors that have been shut to us because of our color. And I think the reason for that is we have been blessed. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or not, but we have been blessed. I was raised on the West Coast, but my husband was raised. He was born in Detroit, but he was raised basically most of his life in the South, in Georgia. But we were blessed to have parents who raised us who never taught us color. They taught us that people are people. And it has helped us to be able to go across the board in the church, that when we go into an assembly, we never think about that there's all white people there, or there's Hispanics, or there's whatever. We see people, because God sees people. It isn't that God's colorblind. God knows exactly what he did. He knew when he made black people and white people and Hispanics and Asians and whatever. God knew. He's a God of infinite variety. And I am so thankful because each one of us have a part to give to the body of Christ. But I'm ever so thankful that God has opened the doors for us, and he's helped us to be able to go across the board. He's also helped us to be a bridge in the body of Christ for those who have a problem with color, for those who have a problem with stigmas. He's helped us with our own people that have had stigmas because they're black and they feel like that they can't enter in. I'm so thankful God's helped me with that, that when I see each one of you, I can just embrace you for who you are. And it doesn't bother me what color you are. It doesn't bother me where you came from. I just love you for who you are. What are you going to say, honey?
Amen. We need to do something right now. I want Brother Glenn to come. I feel the Lord's really wanting to do something right now. I'm going to ask everyone to stand too. We need to break the power of this off of this area. We need to break the stigma. You know, we've heard rumors from time to time about this place, and we've never been treated like anything but people here in this place. And we need to break the stigma off of this area. Any stigma attached over the camp where people have felt like they weren't received, they weren't welcome. Brother Tommy shared something last night. Brother Tommy, where was that passage in Deuteronomy you were reading? Or was it Leviticus? Leviticus? Yeah, I saw something there that really blessed me. And where was it, dear? Praise the Lord. Verse 13, 26:13. We're going to do something here. Now, this is just as much a part of spiritual warfare. The back of the enemy needs to be broken. The head of the enemy needs to be crushed. And making racial distinctions in the body. We say it not just traditionally, but because it's just so constant. We talk about that's a black church. That's a white church. God just has a church. And out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation, come on somebody, he's purchased them out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. Amen. God makes people, but often we make races. We can't pray for God to heal our nation until the church is healed, his spiritual nation. Amen. And we're going to ask God to break and cleanse the heavens, even in Arkansas and anywhere else in the nation, because if the enemy can divide, he can conquer. Amen. And God wants to heal his church. And there's been generational curses. I'm going to read this verse that have been passed down through all our lineage. Whether you've been a participant or not in terms of bigotry or prejudice, or you didn't even know. Sometime, I was talking to a brother today. Something rose up within him in a certain situation. He didn't even know it was there, but God dealt with it. And, you know, you may not even be aware of your forefathers or whatever might have been done. Sometimes even, God forgive us, in churches, in the history of churches, the thing that separated them, the thing I believe ultimately that it killed the Azusa Street was over the issue of whether or not blacks and whites and others were going to fellowship together. Amen, folks, that's culture. That's a national and an earthly thing. It has nothing to do with the spiritual realm. Amen. Hallelujah. You know there's no color in spirit. There's no sex in spirit. Amen. All right. So we're going to deal with that this morning and break that back of that thing once and forever, because there's some other folks, amen, that need the same thing that you've gotten this weekend, and perhaps even in a greater dimension. Amen. Come on, we need to lift our hearts in this. But here's the verse that really stuck to me when Brother Tommy was reading last night. Leviticus 26:13. I am the Lord your God who brought you from out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. You know, slavery works on both sides, folks. Not only the oppressor, but the oppressed. Amen. But God says that when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of their house of bondage, that God said, I have not only brought you out from those who were the bondmen, but I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Amen. And we need to ask God to break that, maybe in your own heart and life. You may not even be aware of it, or maybe even some of you, even this week, and the first time you've encountered black ministry. And yet something was released in your own heart. We have that happen all over the country, where people come and say, you know, the Lord just set me free. Your being here just set me free. I'm going to ask whether you've realized it or not, or maybe God's just tugging on your heart. You've looked and wondered why there hasn't been a greater inroad of the gospel in areas, or perhaps in the city. Or let's ask God to break the back of that, not only here, come on, but in our own towns as we go back, and ask God to heal his church of racial bigotry, of racial prejudice, that we'll only see Jesus in one another. Amen? Let's join hands for a moment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, let's say that. Heavenly Father, we come to you through the blood of the Lamb. We come to you on the basis of your mercy and your forgiveness. Where would any of us be if it hadn't been for your sacrifice, and that you removed our sins and transgressions from us? Father, we come this morning to confess that within your church and within your house, in this nation, there has been racial and other prejudice. And Father, we come this morning to ask your forgiveness. For you said in your word, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Lord, forgive us of all prejudice from any races. Lord, whether they be Jewish race or Chinese or Spanish or Hispanic or Italian or Latin or German or black or any other race we've not mentioned. Father, forgive us. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you'd cleanse us of our blood guiltiness, heal us of our racial distinctions, and make us one, even as our Lord Jesus prayed that we might be one. Lord, wash our eyes. Cause the scales to fall from our eyes, that we might know one another, no longer after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Satan, we serve you notice. We will no longer harbor or entertain or laugh at or make fun of anyone that we hold to be inferior or of a different distinction in race. We expose your lie. We lay the axe to the root. We bind off every curse
that's come through our family line, even back to Adam. In Jesus' name, we break the powers of stigmas, and we announce to you today that Jesus has set us free in our minds, in our souls, in our bodies. And we tell you, we put you under our feet in Jesus' name. Now, some of you need to let go of those who have hurt you. You've actually been hurt through racial situations. You need to forgive and call that person out by name. No one needs to hear it. But you need to tell God, God, I'm forgiving them. I'm releasing them from words that were spoken, for deeds that were done. And if you found out that you were a perpetrator, ask the Lord to forgive you and set you free. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that your spirit of grace and mercy now, Lord, would reach your people. That Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will set the captives free in Jesus' name. That Father God, that you will cause the spirit of the oppressor to leave and the spirit of oppression to leave. We break the bands of slavery. We break the bands of poverty. We break the bands, Lord God, of heaviness in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you'll loose your people today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, that you'll cause even the angels of heaven to be loose to minister to your people, to bring healing and deliverance and salvation. And Father, we ask that if any stigma, Lord, is over this camp, Lord, we break the back of it. Lord, we ask for open heavens in the name of Jesus, and that your people will be healed and filled and restored and delivered, and that there'll be no one, Lord God, that doesn't know that they can come and be received, Lord God. Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you'll heal, Lord, this land. And Lord God, that your glory will come and that revival will come to your church, Father. Father God, as you heal your people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said and shouted hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, amen, glory to God, glory to God. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do ask, Lord God, that you will bind off, Lord God, the assignment of accident and injury to your people. Father, the spirit of death and destruction off of your people. Father, we ask that you'll bind that, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, whether there have been words where we've opened the door, Father, that you'll shut the door and you'll seal it through the blood of the Lamb in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that you'll cause your people not to stumble, Lord God. Hallelujah. But they'll walk upright and even in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it now. Amen. Hallelujah.
Courses above, join with all nations. and how we're going home. God, we ask that you'll finish the work that you've begun. Lord, you'll finish the work that you sent us here to do. Lord Jesus, you who have begun a good work in us, will you not perform it? Will you not ordain it, Lord God, even unto its completion? Now, Father, I bind the spirit, Lord God, of confusion, spirits of strife, Lord God, that the enemy would try to put. Lord, we just bind off any hindering force, Father God, and the birds of prey that would try to snatch away, Lord God, both the time as well as, Lord, our hearing ear. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the churches, Lord God. And Father, we ask that we will go away from here saying it was good for us to have been together. It was good for us to have taken the time and all the effort and energy and money, Lord God, in preparation. Lord, may we know it was good for us to have been, Lord God, in the presence of the Lord. Yes. Now, Father, I ask that you'll open the word to us and you'll speak to our hearts and you'll encourage us, Father, as we're prepared to go back to our own places. And Lord God, that we'll know that, Lord God, you have ordained this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. I want to speak to you briefly from these first three verses. Hebrews chapter 12. One of the things that often happens when there's so much that the Lord accomplishes in our hearts and lives, we feel not only cleaned up, but filled up, and we have a lot of information shared. We need information if there's going to be transformation. But how many of you know you can't remember it all? Amen. But thank God it's not a ministry of the letter. It's a ministry of the Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But one of the dangers is going away and not realizing the responsibility that we have for what we have heard. Amen. You are not the norm. I mean, the effort that you've made, the early hours that you've spent in prayer and seeking God, you are not the norm. How many of you know there are a lot of people that are happy to stay where they're at? They're happy to stay. They haven't got a thing from Jesus in years. And they're very happy to stay right where they're at without don't want anybody to trouble them. God, don't bother me. That was the problem in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That door, by the way, was the church. How in the world can you have a dead service when we're serving a living Christ? Can you answer that to me? He's not in the womb. He's not in the tomb. He's on a throne this morning. Amen? And we are given a part of our stewardship. I mean, you know, we're going to give account for our stewardship. Amen? Well, we're steward of the things that God has given us. And I want to challenge you personally this morning that one of the things that God wants you to do is to run the race of faith in such a way that you might finish what he has begun to do and work in you. Amen? And I want to talk to you from Hebrews 12, very familiar verses, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Can you say amen? Amen. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I want to talk to you about the race of faith. And one of the things that you will discover, I say it's a race of faith. If you go back to Hebrews 11, we have what's called the Hall of Faith. And here in chapter 12, we could talk about the race of faith. But one of the things, and I think I mentioned it the other day, faith will not always make you famous. We often hear people talk about the Hall of Fame. Well, these are those who got in because of their exploits. But faith will not always make you famous in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, God has set forth just a handful of gems in Hebrews 11. Just a handful of gems. And when you look at these, all of these people were not perfect. I mean, we could call it the gallery of God's rogues. Some of these guys lied. Remember Abraham? God said, my prophet's going to pray for you. Just after he had lied, my lying prophet. going to pray for you, you're going to live. Then there was Moses. Moses was a murderer, or had murdered. Hmm? You remember when he tried to bury that Egyptian in the sand? That's the wrong place to bury any kind of mistake. Once that wind gets to blowing, you know, how many of you tried to bury some of your mistakes in the sand, too? Yeah. But Moses is mentioned there as one of the... And then there's Samson. I mean, if anybody's life was a carnal Christian. Every time Samson turned around, he had myitis. He had eye problem. Everything about Samson, he saw it and he wanted it. And he said, get her for me. And eventually he put his eyes out. And that's a message in itself. I was tempted to preach that. But he's mentioned here in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. And then there were others. And when we look at their lives, we discover that many of them, there were certain, we would say, defects in their life. And here they are in the Hall of Faith. But there's no amen to it. We can put our name there. Amen. And we can be encouraged even in their weakness. God made them strong. Come on, somebody. And so it's a race of faith. And I want to talk to you about running that race. And I trust this will be rather basic, really, to us. But we need to hear it. He says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, the imagery in the original is that cloud of witnesses, which he mentioned in Hebrews 11. And, of course, how many of you know there were others, too? This great, vast cloud of witnesses that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. But he describes them here as compassed, being compassed about. And the original word there is like being in an arena or a stadium. Actually, the Greek word is actually the writer who I believe was Paul took it right from their culture. This was where the Olympics began in that particular day. And the writer here is using the imagery of a vast stadium of witnesses, this cloud of unseen witnesses who are standing in the stadium. Why? Why are they in the stadium? Well, they finished their race. But they're in the stadium to watch you and I run ours. Yeah. Did you know that Hebrews 12 tells us that we have come unto Mount Zion and that there are the spirits of just men made perfect? Now, he doesn't say you're coming unto Zion. He says you have come. In other words, a present tense. There is a sense that we are in this realm that heaven touches earth. And even though there are saints who have gone on, as it were, they're very, very aware. Very, very aware of what God is doing in the earth. Did you read in the book of Revelation how the souls of them, even who were beheaded, cried out unto God, how long? Yeah. How long, O Lord? When are you going to wrap it up? And here's those who are in the stadium, this Olympic stadium, if you please. They've run their race of faith. And they're there to cheer you and I on, if you please. Yeah. But might stick with this imagery. They're in the unseen stadium and arena. And you and I are put in this race, even as they were in this race. But the Bible says they are awaiting something as they are there in that arena. What are they waiting for? Now, they're the spirits of just men made perfect, but they haven't got the full title deed to all that God has in mind. Look with me to Hebrews 11:13, please. Hebrews 11:13, verse and following. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, come on, here on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they had come out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And then, again, over in verse 39 and 40, and all these, having obtained a good report, they got a good score on their report card. All of these having obtained a good report through faith, but receive not the promise. Why? God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, that's a mouthful. And so, if you please, let me continue to use this imagery of this vast arena. If you've read any of the great biographies of the great men and women that God has used, these were forerunners in some ways for us. They've run their race, though, and yet they're encouraging us to complete our race, and they want to see how we're going to run our race. How many of you know it's possible to complete the race, but that doesn't mean anything? How many of you know a lot of people enter into the Olympics, but, you know, anybody can come in last? Hello? You didn't even have to train to come in last. How many of you know you don't have to train to come in last? Amen? And there are some people who are just so happy just to be a part of the race. You know? And to get their t-shirt, I was in the race. You know? How many of you know there's no crowns for losers? We've been listening all week about the overcomer. Well, if you're going to be an overcomer, you've got to come over from something. Amen? And that's what we're learning to do here. And so they're waiting because they realize that this thing is not going to be completed until all that those that whom God has ordained are going to come into this thing. God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete or mature. Or as in terms of God's fullness, what he has in mind. And that's, I don't want to get into that subject, but that's a subject in itself. What is it about this race? Number one, as I've mentioned, it's a race of faith. Let's say faith. Amen. That's the only way you can run this race is by faith. Amen? Now, we know Hebrews 11 tells us that great definition we all know. Now, faith is. We could stop right there. Because faith is never a tomorrow proposition. If you're going to run a race of faith, it must be now faith is, not tomorrow's faith. Tomorrow may not get here. Yesterday's gone. We only have today. And so God has a people who recognize that faith is a now proposition. If ever there was a time to enter into my race, it is now. If ever there's a time, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now faith is. Faith is a living thing. It's not static or stagnant, but it's a living thing. When you read in the Bible concerning faith, we discover the Bible talks about those who had a measure of faith. Paul said, I say this to your shame, some have not faith. Jesus talks about mustard seed faith. We often emphasize the size of the seed rather than the kind of the seed. Amen. Oh, it's such a small thing. Yeah, but plant it and watch it grow. Jesus said the mustard seed, though it's the smallest of seeds, and others are larger, they look more impressive perhaps, they're only going to bring forth a shrub. They're only going to bring forth a plant. But when the sun comes up, how many of you know those shrubs and plants, and the grass is going to wither and fade away? But he that does the will of God is going to abide forever. He says that mustard seed, though it doesn't come up a shrub, it's not here today and gone tomorrow. The God kind of faith turns into a full tree, turns into that which can bring a shelter even for the birds. And often we berate, sometimes we think, oh, I don't have much faith. Well, listen, plant the seed. Seeds weren't made for jars, huh? They weren't made to stay in the packet. They were meant to be planted. The Bible says there's a measure of faith, and those who had little faith, those who had much faith. There were those who had great faith. There were those who were strong in faith. And the whole key is to plant and water the seed that God has given you and enter into that race. Amen. Yeah. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What's the reward? Well, if I seek God, what's the reward? God. It's not it. It's him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's the key to entering into this. So now faith is. It must be living and active. Secondly, this race is personal. Say personal.
Personal.
It's non-competitive.
Non-competitive.
You have a race to run, and no one else can run your race. I want to say it again. It is a personal race. You have a race to run. No one else can run your race. You can't do like they do in these baseball games where they get a substitute batter. God doesn't have a substitute for you. You and you only can run this race. It is your race. It is your hour. It is your time. Hello? And you can't opt out and say, I'll let somebody else run my race. Huh? Hallelujah. There's no reward for substitutions. All right, number three. This race requires training. Say training.
Training.
Or discipline. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. I hope you realize that one of the things that God has allowed you to do by being here in this conference setting, and we're learning about deliverance and more about the kingdom and what God is doing, He's put you into a training course.
Yes.
A course of the Spirit of God. Amen? Yes. And here it says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you might obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air." I don't shadow box, Paul is saying. "But I keep my body under, and I bring it not under subjection, into subjection." There's a big difference, by the way. Our brother Wes has been teaching us about suppressing things, amen, that need to come out. Paul didn't say, "I bring it under subjection." I bring it into subjection. Big difference. "Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, there are three things that Paul tells us here, and I'll just give them to you, and you can develop them later. Number one, if we're going to, in this training, we must remember, beloved, that we are running to win. I mentioned this earlier. But Paul said, "I don't shadow box. I'm not beating the air. I've got one aspiration, and that is that I might win a crown."
Yes.
Now, there are some people that are just looking to get to glory, just looking to get to salvation, to get to heaven, you know, that fire escape, get that insurance, amen. But Paul said, "No, not me. I am running in such a way that I might win a crown." You see, in that day when they crowned the winner or the champion, they would give them a wreath that was just made of some vine or something. And everybody would know that that person had been the champion. But Paul said, they do it to win a corruptible crown. How many of you know it's going to perish? It's going to fade away. But you and I are running a race that we might have a crown, listen to me, that for all eternity will declare your station in overcoming. That would declare your place in the things of God, in the purposes of God. Your nearness to God, how much you've loved Him, how much you've suffered for Him, how much you've given to Him. Your prayer life, your tears, our brother mentioned, that are bottled up. God keeps good records. He keeps good score. And He said, even if you give a cup in the name of the Lord, you won't lose your reward. So if you're going to run, don't just say, "Well, bless God, I'm a Christian now. I guess that's enough." You ought to run in such a way to win. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when my brother and I used to play basketball way back in the sticks of Georgia, we didn't let anybody come on our court from outside and beat us. I don't care who they were and how big they were. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. We had but one objective, and that was to win. I tell you, there needs to be some tenacity in the body of Christ. Get in it or get out of it. God's looking for people who want to be overcomers.
Amen.
Not just overcome. Hallelujah. But Paul said, "I'm not shadow boxing. Boy, I'm preparing because I want to win that crown." Hallelujah. Not only that, but running. If we're going to run, we've got to run according to the rules. Say, according to the rules. I appreciate Brother West mentioning this. These are the rules. These here are the rules. Amen. If you're going to run, you're going to have to run, as Paul says, lawfully here. He mentions here, he says, every man that striveth for the mastery must be temperate in all things. And he says in verse 27, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you mean to tell me, Paul, after all you've done, there's the possibility of you being a castaway? Uh-huh. That doesn't mean that he loses salvation. It just meant that he would be disqualified for the thing that God had called him to. He would be disqualified not concerning the work, but the motive of the work. Hello, somebody. You see, there are a lot of people that work for the Lord. There are a lot of people that seem to have fruit for the Lord. But God searches the motive of our work. And Paul said, I want to run. I'm going to run according to God's standard, according to the standard, so that I myself not be a castaway, though I've preached to others. Paul even told Timothy, preach in such a way that first of all, you might save yourselves and your hearers. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, we'd have some better preaching if we preach more to ourselves first than before we try to lay it on the people. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the third thing about running this race and training, as I've already mentioned, I want to come to that just as one point. It means if we're going to run our race, this part of training and disciplining is that we might bring the whole man under the subjection of the Spirit. Now listen to what I said. The whole man under the subjection of the Spirit. You see, the athlete trains to bring his body under subjection. Amen. To bring his body under control, that at any moment, he's asked to enter into the race, then he can fly. Amen? Because his muscles and his reflexes and all the things that are needed to do what he does have been so honed and trained that any moment he can move forth for the Lord. That's what God wants to do in the body of Christ. He wants to so train and hone our, not just our spirits, amen, but how many know he wants to bring this flesh man under subjection? I'm not just talking about this old body, amen, that may give you trouble from time to time. I'm talking about the flesh man, amen. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 thereabout, he says, I pray that your whole man, notice the order, spirit, soul, and body might be preserved, sound, and blameless to the coming of the Lord. See, God isn't just interested, I say, in quickening your spirit. For the moment you come to Jesus Christ in true repentance and the blood is washed away your sins, your spirit is born again. Your spirit man is born again. But what God is doing in training us and disciplining us is to bring the soul realm, our emotions, our mind, our will, and all that we've heard about this week, is to bring that under subjection so that our body, or this natural man, which is to display what God is doing. Amen? So that the Word can become flesh once again in you and I. And that people who run even can read. Amen? I think it was Paul Gilbert that wrote this poem. He said, you're writing a gospel, a chapter each day. By deeds that you do, by words that you say. Men will read what you write, whether faithful or true. He said, hey, say, what is the gospel according to you? That's what God wants. He wants living epistles read of all men. And so he's training us. He's training us for reigning. But he's putting us in the race now. And maybe we're taking a few laps. Some of us taking more laps than others. Amen. But it's all right. If you're willing, when God says you have dwelt here long enough, turn you and take your journey. And he will if you'll train. He will if you prepare yourself for it. He wants to put us in the race. Now, how are we to run this race? Very quickly. Number one, stay in your lane. Let's say that together. Stay in your lane. Now, this is going to shatter some of you, but I believe that the judgment seat of Christ is going to be so different for many Christians who are just looking just to go and get some reward for doing nothing. But if you're going to receive a reward, I believe that on that day, many people are going to receive no reward for this reason. They did not stay in their lane. They got in somebody else's lane and ran. I remember this, and the Lord really brought this home to my heart and spirit one time. One of our children, I don't know if I told this here before or not, but he'll remain nameless, lest this tape goes out. Hallelujah. When he was younger, about 10 years old, one Saturday, the school was having a track meet. And he had entered into the 100 meters, and we were there to cheer him on. And we remember he lined up and everything. I can remember this. He was in the inside lane. The gun went off. Bang! Down the track they all went. He beat everybody by about 10 meters. I'm telling you, we were excited. Oh, we were jumping up and down. We ran across the track to congratulate him as he was receiving his reward. By the time we had got there, not only had he received the reward, but they had taken back the ribbon. You know why? Because he ran in a different heat. He wasn't with his proper age group. He was disqualified. Though he won, he was disqualified. Are you there? There are many people today, beloved, trying to be like other people, trying to exercise other people's ministry, trying to walk in other people's anointing, trying to say what so-and-so said. They're more parents than prophets. Amen. Echoes, not voices. If you are going to win your race, you've got to stay in your lane.
That's right.
You may not can do what God has called some of the other brethren or sister to do. You may not sing like a nightingale. You might sing more like a gale in the night. But if God has appointed you to sing in the night, hey, it might be somebody's deliverance that's needed in the midnight hour. Stay in your lane. Otherwise, you'll look as clumsy as David, who tried to go out in Saul's armor. Well, he didn't try. He knew he couldn't go out in it. There are a lot of people who are trying to walk in other people's ministry, other people's anointing, other people's success. Hear me, church. You can't walk in their success. We can be inspired by them. Hebrews 11 is put there to inspire us. The stories of great men and women is to inspire us. But don't try to run in their lane. Because you might say, Jesus, I'm across the lane. He said, yeah, I know, but I'm waiting here. There's your reward right here. Well, can't you reward me over there? No, I don't have a reward for you over there. Your reward is right here. Are you there?
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a day of weeping, I believe, for many people who realize even though they've done the stuff, Jesus said, I don't know you. Come on, let's stay in our lane. All right, number two, lay aside every weight. Let's say that. Lay aside every weight. You see, on the day of the race, the athlete sheds himself of every unneeded garment, every unneeded weight that he's trained by, and on that day, he loosens everything except what is very necessary to run the race, that he might fly down the lane both with speed and unhindered. Some of you right now might feel like you're bearing a load. But God said, I'll bear it with you. The Holy Spirit is a paraclete that comes alongside to assist you. You might feel like right now, Lord, I don't know how much I can bear. But God said, I know how much you can bear. And you might feel like you've got some weights that God's using. Maybe circumstances, situations in your life. They haven't moved yet. And yet you're being exercised by them. Exercise unto godliness. Exercise unto righteousness. Exercise unto faith. Exercise unto tenacity. Come on, somebody. Amen. We want problems just all to go away. And, oh, God, I can't hear you. God said, hang in there. I love you.
Amen.
And you can do this. And then when it comes the day, though, for what the training was for, he lightens the load that we might run unhindered. That we might run with an even pace. May I say balance?
Yes.
How easy it is for us to get unbalanced. Amen. You know, if you only had one wing, the Holy Spirit, he's not just pictured in the dove. He doesn't just have nine gifts. I mean, you know, he has nine fruit as well. Amen. And if you only have one wing, all you're going to do is go round and round and round and round and round. But how many of you know if you have the gifts and the fruits, come on, in your life, you're going to take off. You're going to take off. Amen. And sometimes God has to develop us in these things. Praise the Lord. All right. Paul said in Philippians 3, let's look there very quickly. Hallelujah. I know some of you are ready to leave, and you'll leave if I don't. Amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians 3, brethren, this is Paul's speaking here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting. Those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now notice what Paul said. I'm laying aside the weights. You know what those weights were in Paul's life in this sense of application? It was the things that he was best known for. He said his reputation, his heritage, his background, his training, his culture. He said, I count these things but as dung. The good, listen to me, the good can betray the best in your life. The good thing, they weren't bad. None of those things were bad in his life. The good thing can betray the best in your life. The good thing can become the thing that weighs you down when God says, I want you to go forward and faster in me. And if you keep hanging on to, my brother sang the song today, Lord, whatever it takes, however how long it seems. Huh? But sometimes we allow the good thing that God has done in our life, or used to do, to actually become a weight to where God wants to take us. Come on now. God wants to lighten the load. Some of our traditions we're hearing about.
Oh, yeah.
They need to go. They're weights. Now, tradition is good, but traditionalism is very bad. Keep your tradition if there's life in it. But when a thing's dead, do what Samson did with the jawbone of an ass. He didn't bronze it. He didn't frame it. He didn't say, come in into my tent. Let me show you the jawbone of an ass. The Bible says when he got through mopping up 1,000 Philistines, he threw it away. Because it was a thing that God gave him for victory, but it wasn't God. Know when that thing that God has used is ceased to have done its purpose and throw it away. All right, lay aside every weight. Paul said, I'm forgetting, I'm reaching, I'm pressing. All of those are implied athletic terms. All right. Hebrews 12 tells us, let us not only lay aside every weight, but every sin that does so easily beset us. What is the besetting sin that Paul is referring to here? Well, I'll tell you in one sense, it is the sin, the besetting sin. You want to know what the besetting sin is? You know, want to know what the besetting sin in your life is? In my life? Huh? Unbelief. The sin of unbelief. These entered not in because of unbelief. And I'll guarantee you behind every sin, which is either to miss the mark or to fail to do the will of God, is unbelief. Because to believe God is to trust and obey. Now, whether it's a paralyzing fear or whether it's the hindrance of memories to past or whatever, God wants to encourage us, amen, to not only lay aside the weight, but the besetting sin, the sin of unbelief. Can I trust God? I haven't been able to trust other people. I haven't been able to trust maybe my husband or my wife because their word wasn't true, or some parental situation that they didn't come through. And I allow that stigma in my life to hinder me. You know what I do? I dwell in my past rather than considering my future. I dwell in my past rather than considering my future. Come on now. Now, we got it. We know there are assignments and all that. We've got to get broken. But God doesn't want us to live in our past.
Amen.
We've got to take a hold of the future. Amen.
Oh, yes.
We've got to take a hold of our God. And the besetting sin, beloved, if you'll be honest, is unbelief.
Uh-huh.
When God asks you to do a thing, it's either belief or disbelief. Amen. It's either obedience or disobedience. Come on now.
Amen.
Oh, but I wish I had time to talk about other besetting sins as well. What hinders you from running your race? That's a besetting sin.
Yes.
It may be some excuse that you've allowed to be that reason why you can't run your race. What does hinder you? Paul said it to the Galatians. Who did cut in on you as you were running your race? And the idea is they're running along in their lane and somebody cuts across them and causes them to either fall or stumble out of their lane. What has caused you to stumble to keep you from running your race? Was it something someone said to you? Something someone did to you? Or maybe the besetting sin of gossip or slander? Sins of the tongue, sins of the flesh, sins of the eyes. What is your besetting sin? Do you know? Well, I'll guarantee each and every one of us, one man's mountain may be another one's molehill. One man's molehill may be another man's mountain. Hello? We all have besetting sins. And it behooves us to know how the enemy, and here's the point, how does the enemy keep coming in to cut me off from running in my lane? How does he keep cutting me off to slow me down? Or maybe even come to a standstill. Hello? All right. He says, let us run with patience. Oh, mercy. Mercy, patience. Let's say patience.
Patience.
If I'm going to win this race, it's not going to be a sprint. Have you discovered that the Christian life, the life of the overcomer, really is that of a marathoner?
Amen.
You're going to have to pace yourself.
Yes.
It'd be wonderful when the gun off, bless God, we've got Jesus, and we're on our way. Woo! It's not that way. Have you discovered that?
Yes.
It's kind of like Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, we love soaring on wings of eagles. Bless God. We've had some soaring here of this conference, haven't we? I mean, God has lifted us up. Woo! We're off and running. Why? So why does he do it? They're going to mount up on wings of eagles that they might get back in the race. Run and not be weary. That's why God's brought you here, to lift you up on eagle's wing, to put you back in the race. Amen. That you might run and not get weary and walk. It's rather unspectacular. Nobody gets up early in the morning and watch people walk. But we'll fill a stadium to watch them run. What's my point? Sometimes the Christian life is rather unspectacular. I mean, it's not soaring every day, bless God. We know our realm, amen. We ought to stay in that realm. But sometimes God says, now walk it out. God said, I put you back in, and honey, you can make it. I put a second wind in your sail. Let's run this race with patience. Endurance is the key to winning the prize. Hallelujah. I remind you again, one of the themes of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4. This is just one of the themes. He says here, let us, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. How? If. Say if. Yeah. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. I don't hear it much more, but in the book of the Revelation it says, herein is the perseverance of the saints. He doesn't say herein is the beginning of the saints. He says herein is the perseverance of the saints. Oh, if any of us would be rewarded on our start, I imagine we all would get a gold star and a gold crown. But it isn't the way you start merely, it's the way you finish. And God wants the people who are going to finish the race. I remind you in the book of Acts, what made them such a dynamic group is that these continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayer and in breaking of bread. They just kept doing it. Kept on. We've got to do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then, lastly, we wrap this up. If we're going to run our race, we're going to have to look unto Jesus. Let's say looking unto Jesus. Brother Jack told us quite a humorous story last night about keeping your focus. That's what it's about. If you're going to run your race, you've got to keep your focus. Are you out there? Oh, if there's any tool the devil has used so much, it's probably worn. He's probably trying to build another one. It's distractions. To get our focus off of Jesus. More people have stumbled out of their lane. More people have lost the race. By just as they're about to cross the finish line, to take a little look to the left. Have you ever noticed that? And somebody nudged them out in the end. Oh, it's distractions, beloved. It's things that come like Abraham, those birds that come just when we're ready to make the sacrifice and the full commitment to God. And just when we're about ready for God's fire to come down and accept fully the sacrifice and to manifest himself in glory, that's just when the birds of prey come to eat our lunch, huh? It might be financial birds, come on, it might be family birds, it might be some church situation, some strife. Whatever the devil can use to distract us, he'll use it. To keep us from keeping our focus and our eyes, and here's the Greek word, fixed on Jesus. Actually, the Greek word implies, now that you've looked at this great arena of witnesses, oh, there's Moses. Ooh, mighty man of faith. There's Elijah up there too. Hey, and there's Samson and Daniel and there's Ruth. He says, now that you've looked at all of them and you've admired them greatly. The great things that God did. Now the Greek word says, now I've shown you them. Come here. I want to show you one that's in a class all by himself. These had failures. These had sin. These had weaknesses. But here's the sinless one. He's a forerunner. He's gone beyond us, beyond the veil. Hallelujah. You know, if you do like I do sometime, I like sometimes to go to some of the great art galleries in cities. If you were to walk in, you would notice as you go in, there would be this large room of pictures and paintings of various artists. Maybe El Greco, maybe Rembrandt, maybe Raffanini and some of these others. And you would just go down and admire them, and you perhaps would take in the hue and the brushstroke and all of that. Then you, as you moved around, you would come to another room, a little smaller in terms of its size, but you would discover one painting on the wall. A little light on it. And under it, as you get closer, it would say, Masterpiece. But you might say, wait a minute, that artist is the same one that was out there. What is this? Oh, they said, out of all the other paintings, here's the masterpiece. And that is just what God is saying to you and I. Now that I've shown you what I'm able to do, even to those which are weak in faith, those who are weak often in their own kind, weak in themselves, and I cause them to come through, let me show you one who is my masterpiece. Because Jesus Christ is the sum total of all things for you and I. God says, I want you to look away from them. Yeah, you can be encouraged by them, but here's one who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? He got you into this race, honey, and he's going to see you to the end. He started the gun, and he's standing there waiting to award. Amen? So what does it matter if I haven't had as great of advantages or background or education or my past has maybe been a little checkered, or maybe it doesn't matter if I'll get into the race and I'll keep my eyes on Jesus, because he's the one that said, honey, I put you in the race, and I'm going to see you to the end, and I'm going to be the one that rewards you, not according to somebody else's lane or somebody else's pace, but according to your race, your run, and your focus on him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me close with this. I appreciate your patience. Paul's words to Timothy, I think, ought to be challenge every last one of us. What did Paul say to Timothy as he was about to go? Timothy, I want you to know I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished my course. He didn't slacken. Oh, he had a lot of things to slacken him. Amen. He had a lot of things that could have discouraged him. He had a lot of things that could have set him back. As a matter of fact, he said, the things that knocked me down in the Greek actually knocked me forward in God. How is it? Have you ever found that something seemed to knock you down, but actually you realize God knocked you forward? Yeah. But he said, Timothy, I stayed in my lane. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. I crossed the finish line. Amen? And beloved, when all else is said and done, listen to me, when all else is said and done, that's all that matters in your life and in my life. How much we focus on him and whether we're going to finish the course. Huh? Stay in your lane. Amen. Run your race. And he who's begun a good thing in you is going to finish it to the day of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's just give him the glory right now. Father, we worship you. Father, we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty. Oh, Father, give us a new tenacity, Father God. Lord, give us new eyes to see Jesus and to focus on him. Lord, we thank you for the cloud of witnesses, but Jesus sits above the clouds. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. And we ask in the name of Jesus that, Father, that you, Lord, cause us, Lord God, to train, Lord God, to win. To train to win, Father God, in this hour. Lord, there are things to be gained and things to be lost. Let us forget the things, Lord God, which are behind and press for, reaching for, stretching for, Lord God, the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask that you will apprehend our lives in a new way, that we might apprehend what we were apprehended for, that you might say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, this is our cry, this is our prayer. Bind truth to our hearts, Father God. And help us to run a little steadier with a new gait, Father God, in our step. The wind, Lord God, of the Spirit, Lord, in our backs, Lord God, ever pushing us forward to Jesus Christ. And teach us, Lord God, even the meaning, Lord God, of that song. How often we sing things that we don't know and we don't mean. But, Lord, we mean this today. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. To look full in his wonderful face. That the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Oh, and thank you, Lord. It's your grace. Hallelujah. Help us to run now, Father, with patience.
We thank you in Christ Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to pray for the meal, but Brother West also has offered to pray for those in terms of gifts and things. And so if you want ministry, you still want to do that, brother? He said, yes. Amen. So I'm going to pray for the meal and ask the Lord to continue to move as he wants to this morning. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the food. We thank you, Lord God, for the hands which have labored for it and prepared it. And Father, we sanctify it to our use and ourselves to yours in Christ Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.